her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we see.
Oh, it is opening day. Brewers in New York against the Yankees. You can watch it on ESPN. Listen to it on 620 WTMJ, 2 o'clock Central, first pitch. That's 3 o'clock for you there, big guy.
I'll be watching. Wait a minute. You said 2 o'clock your time?
2 o'clock our time, 3 o'clock your time.
Okay. Because time zones do get confusing a little bit. Would you agree? You got to think?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're traveling a little bit. Like when I went.
I'm excited.
I went to Vegas, came back, and then went to Florida. Yeah, time zones were like, okay, what am I actually, if I want to watch the Players' Championship, what time does this thing actually start type of situation?
Who's on the mound? Steady Freddy?
Yeah, Freddy, Fastball Freddy.
Going up, no, Steady Freddy is much better. No, let that go.
What do you mean, let that go? That's his nickname.
Steady Freddy is, I'm the king of nicknames. That's a much better nickname. Who is going for the Yankees?
For the Yankees,
it's Cole's hurt, right?
Yes.
Former White Sox.
Oh, Rodon.
That's it.
Carlos Rodon.
Okay. Because a good nickname for Cole would be, Joshy, what's the Maguanago thing? Ripping Cole?
Rolling Cole?
Throwing Cole.
Garrett Cole.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Always.
While it's fresh in my brain?
Yes, please.
Are your spouses or significant others friendly in the morning? Are they nice?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, again, I don't spend a lot of time in the morning around
my
spouse.
She's not listening, okay?
Well, she never listens.
Okay.
But yeah,
is she
like,
nice in the morning?
I mean, again, she was in bed when I left. Like, I don't have a lot of interaction with her in the morning.
Yeah. Josh?
I wouldn't go so far as to say nice, but she's not mean. That's for sure. It's usually a quiet. By the time, I mean, I'm sure you guys have somewhat similar. On, like, the weekends, I'm up at 5 still.
Yeah.
The dog and Mussolini don't roll out of bed till closer to 8. So I'm rearing ready to go, and they're still kind of shaking the cobwebs off there.
Yeah. Like my wife, and Josh knows this from hanging around my wife for a while, my wife is very quiet.
Very even.
Yeah. She's very quiet. And like when she wakes up, that's just who she is. Anytime her eyes are open, that's just who she is.
All day long.
She is just quiet. She's steady. She's even. She's not going to overreact to anything, underreact to anything.
All day long. Mine's a rattlesnake, which is odd because her mother is the nicest Italian woman ever. And you usually get half your genes from mom and half from dad.
Sure.
She got none from mom. None. Not one when it comes to the morning.
Well,
matter of fact, when people think about, you know, when you get to this age and you snore, right?
Okay.
And then one goes to a separate bedroom and sleeps. I'm considering putting in a second kitchen.
Well,
for the mornings.
Second kitchen because she's like, what's she doing in the mornings? Like, you just getting in the way? What's going on?
Well, you heard her this morning on, you know what she's like? You know,
I heard the dog this morning.
Did you hear NFL boy like 17 times?
I did not. The only thing
during our production call?
The only thing I heard was a dog, which we then never really addressed.
Bleep bird in town?
Yeah, Bleep bird's.
No, he's done. She got canned like tuna.
Yeah. The kid, yes. Gotcha. His son broke up with the girl who's.
Therefore broke up with Bleep bird.
Yes.
So she is like, you know the runners that are running like an 800 meter or 1200 meter? Where there's a sprint initially to get that pole position.
Yeah, because you're all like staggered up.
Yeah,
and you want to get into that. You want to get into the lane
is
close
her, like,
to the inside.
Getting the meanness out of the day.
What, she just sees you and starts ripping on you?
It's right from when I wake up. I get critiqued as to how I sleep. Can't make coffee right. Yeah.
In fairness.
Which is fine. I'm conditioned to it now, but it sure would be nice to have two kitchens.
I mean, in fairness, you have described when you make coffee for yourself, the consistency is that of motor oil. So I don't know if everybody necessarily likes that type of coffee. So in fairness to her, you know, she comes down.
Gabe, time out. Give me a time out. We have the one that makes the individual cups.
Oh, you've got,
right?
You've got the Keurig.
No, we got this. It's
even more fancy than that?
Yeah, it's pretty bougie. But I have, and sometimes I forget because, you know, you guys know my brain.
Well, I mean, I would ground, think, no, I think she would too, though, Chew. I think she would also know your brain.
No. So I, no. Only when it's convenient for her. So I wake up before and I get my coffee, but sometimes I forget to take the grounds out.
Okay.
Critique.
Because she's got to dump, she's got to dump the grounds.
But I understand it now, and I just kind of take it. But you know, there's days it's like, geez, I'm crow. Every little thing.
What is the meanest thing she has said to you in the morning?
Don't look at me. I mean, it's. I don't even know that was just. Organically, I mean, I'm sure I can find other things.
Sure. Yeah. No, but I mean, don't look at me is. Yeah, that's up there.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
So
I get
that's
that
just
one too.
What I deal with. It's just one of those days where I, you know, it's Thursday. Thursday. What for me in the rankings was second favorite day, I believe, or third. It's high up there on the list. I like to start off with a bang.
Okay.
You know, we got dinner with the Angries tonight that I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful down here. 80 covers coming off the pool. And it's just, holy cow, body blow, body blow, body blow.
Kim chimes in on the Carpless Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Chewy's wife probably crabbier in the morning because Chewy has kept her up all night with the snoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. She would take snoring for the beatings I take. Matter of fact, the other day she said, I think I hit you a little hard.
Okay.
Which I woke up. She said she gave me a good clock, which I don't mind.
Yeah, you know? Again, you guys have seemed to have set up this arrangement of she can just beat the crap out of you whenever you're snoring.
Joshy, can you pull that? Just say, is your spouse...
I already did it.
Mean in the morning?
It's a fill in the blank. In the morning, your significant other is blank in the morning. Nice or mean? So far, one vote, mean is winning.
Well, Brandon says, my wife is mean in the morning. She wakes up angry that she's waking up. 2 hours later, she loves me more than ever before, but until 9 a.m.
Yeah, same thing.
Look out.
Yeah. Why is that? Because I don't think men are. Like, she puts her snot rags,
snot rags.
Her treadmill is right in front of me, right?
Okay.
And then I have my desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her space, my space.
Yeah.
I would say at least twice a week. Because I'm a nice guy.
You are.
I don't see anything about her snot rags on my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would bet that more women are mean in the morning compared to men.
When does your wife come out of the mean cycle? Does it take an hour, 2 hours? Like this, the first sip of coffee she gets? Because I certainly, Chewy, I dated somebody who hated the mornings, but the second she got that first sip of coffee, like everything was fine and right with the world.
I would say 2 hours in. Then she kind of levels out. Kind of that 800 meter, get to the front, and then you're fine. Then you glide from there.
I got to do something here.
What's that?
Chewy was right. Okay. Holy Chewy was right.
According to a Duke University survey, women wake up far more grumpier than their male counterparts. In fact, females need far more sleep than men and suffer more mentally and physically if forced to go without it, research suggests.
Wow.
I mean, I gave her a treat last night. She should be happy as a clam.
She's not a dog.
No, but I mean, went in the pool. It was very lovely. You know, it was a nice night. Watching Severance, which has became very bizarro world.
Oh, it's really weird, but it's so good. I love it.
Yeah. So I guess it's just one of those things you got to live with. Right?
Well, again, where you got to make sure, I mean, who goes to bed first, you or her?
Me.
And then who gets up first?
Me. So I got up at 6.
Okay.
She was up probably 20 to 7. I had my coffee done, had all the dishes done. Place is pristine. Got her a nice cinnamon roll yesterday.
Ooh.
From the bakery. Very nice.
Did that help at all yesterday?
No.
Did it help yesterday?
The sugar.
Well, I mean,
Well, you mean at night? Yeah, I could have, I guess.
Well, no, I'm not saying at night. I'm just saying in the morning.
I don't know. I rarely wake up in a bad mood. Shut up.
I did. I didn't say anything.
If we were to pull the three people on the program, the one who most frequently answers
Hold on. No, you're wrong. Because there is a difference between venting and being mean.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever mean.
Do I vent?
He's angry. I don't think he's mean. No! He's just angry.
No.
Especially on Mondays.
No.
Especially on Mondays.
I think you're wrong.
You're telling me on Monday you're not angry. I don't think you lash out. Yeah, you vent. You don't lash out any. Well, from time to time you'll lash out, but that's neither here nor there.
We take those. You take it what you can.
But I would say on Mondays, yeah, you're just angry, and then you vent. You just got to get it off your chest. I don't think you're mean.
Joshy, after how many years we've been doing this, Joshy?
Two with me now.
Sure.
I think it's longer than that. Feels longer than that.
Okay, is that a good Brad thing?
I don't think it's a good thing.
That could be perceived as mean.
After two years, I've only snapped on you in the morning one time.
Yeah.
And that was it. Once.
Hopefully that's the last time. One time.
Well, yeah, that's when you're like truly, like really.
No,
but
he didn't agree with me and I didn't like it.
Picked a bad day to disagree.
That was the only reason.
I was going to have you back there, but
we gave him a few minutes. He's back. We said, we good? You said, yeah, let's go.
See, I bet, you know what? Obviously, Jason's on next. I bet Jason is a super nice guy in the morning. Super nice.
Because Jason's just kind of.
Would you like a piece of toast? Yeah.
What? So
are you guys? Are you afraid to speak out here? Because
no, again, like my wife is.
Yeah.
Just,
no, I know.
My wife is who she is in the morning. You know, like she just okay. When she wakes up, that's just kind of who she is. Maybe she's a touch quieter in the morning.
Yeah,
but she's not like. She's not like getting after me and yelling at me that the dishes aren't done or anything of that nature.
Yeah, and usually in the morning, my habit is to do much as you do. I just clean. So on like the weekends when we are together. I'm vacuuming, I'm mopping, I'm doing something because I've been up for 3 hours.
Wait, vacuuming?
Oh, we have to vacuum constantly.
Well, I understand, but like while she's sleeping?
I wait until she gets up. Oh, okay. So I'm saying when we're interacting, I'll usually like finish the dishes, clean the kitchen, and then move on. And like she's just playing with, we don't really interact all that much in the morning, which might be by design from her. Just
Are you OCD?
No, I'm just the cleaner in the house, kind of like you.
Well, why does cleaning go along with OCD? Because she calls me OCD and I love to clean.
I think you might be a little anal retentive when it comes to cleaning.
Because you clean before and after the cleaning lady shows up.
Yeah.
That would be the difference.
Yeah. I clean to maintain just like standard cleanliness in the house. I'm not like constantly doing it. I'm doing it because there's dog hair on the hardwood floor. We should probably clean that up. It looks nice. Look better.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Well, good. I got that off my chest. I feel much better.
Yeah,
I understand
good.
It a little
Science
more.
Science is on the your
Duke,
side. Which
yeah.
Is,
the Duke, here's, yeah,
the Duke research certainly helped.
That was a huge pull by Joshy. Huge pull by Joshy today.
The funny thing is, I found out about this from Mussolini, who threw out at me, well, women need more sleep, and that's why we get started slower, and I thought it was bull honky. So I looked it up, and I was proven wrong. She was proven right.
So you knew about this when Chewie started?
No, I have heard that from Mussolini. Ah. I didn't believe it. I thought, you watched some TikTok, some nonsense, blah, blah, blah. this is just to explain you catching an extra hour while I'm out here. So I decided to look it up.
So just now you finally decided to look it up.
Will I admit that? No. Nope. Nope. That one's staying right here, fellas.
Keep that in pocket.
Based on all Jen's story, she sounds like she's mean in the morning. I mean, isn't she yelling at Dario all the time? I mean, granted, he leaves dirty dishes in the sink, but...
I mean, the thing that seems to drive her the craziest is when the garage door is left open.
Understandably so.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's the one I feel like we hear about the most. And to Dumpy, who had texted in on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776, what day do you guys announce that Jen got fired? She's just been on vacation, pal. Been with the fam. She's
back tomorrow.
She is back tomorrow. So we will have the full band back together tomorrow, but we've got Jason Wilde. He's coming your way next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's going on, dude?
Good day, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Opening day, Jason. Fired up?
That's what I heard, yeah. Yeah, very excited. We're big baseball fans here at the Wilde House. Go Brewers, turning up the heat. Yeah, very excited. How about you?
I'll be watching. I hate anybody that plays the... Well, that didn't come
Wait
out
a
right.
Minute.
I love everyone that plays the Yankees. So this is a little added extra juice. So.
Oh, because you're a Sox fan because you're from Boston.
Yeah. That's my number one, but Brewers are two.
Oh, well, that's nice. Who's starting pitcher today?
Steady Freddy.
Fastball Freddy.
Nope. Too many syllables. Sorry. Ain't working for me.
God, you're one of one.
Jason, how are you? Are you a morning person? When you wake up, are you a little more crabby in the morning? Does it take you a while to kind of ease into the day? What kind of morning person are you?
I'm great once I'm up. It takes me a while to wake up, though. We have those little Google contraptions throughout the house. And so I probably take a sharp tone when I say, hey, Google, snooze for 5 more minutes. And now one's talking to me in our basement because I said that. but once I'm out of bed, I am merry sunshine. I do enjoy waking up every morning and being around the people that I love. So I'm usually pretty good once I get up, but I'm a big snooze bar guy back in the old days of having one of those, and now I'm a big tell the Google assistant that I still want to sleep some.
Well, I brought this up, Jason, and I see you as a get a cup of coffee for Paula or a piece of toast, and how this all started. My wife is meaner than a rattlesnake in the morning, and we actually I never thought of that. We did a little research, and Duke University did a study, and it's proven that, yes, women are meaner in the morning than men. But I'm like you, Jason.
Not quite how they described it.
That's what we're going with.
I didn't realize that we were holding Chewy to the standard of accurately portraying academia.
Well, I read the article by Albert Greer, and Jason, I just love how you glossed over that. Like, just let him go. Who am I, Bluto from Animal House? Let him go. He's on a roll.
He's cooking.
When the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor, that's where we're at with me now.
No, it's just, no one at our station and our family of stations has as much history with you as I do. Not even Craig, who obviously we know, obviously there were some challenging times in your past, and I always look back and am so thankful that Craig gave you the opportunity to do what you've done, because I'm without getting all sappy, I'm extremely proud of you, and I do consider you a good friend. But I also know that you're a knucklehead, and I've known that since I started covering the team in 96. So I'm not here to embarrass you by correcting you, and people know what you mean. And my theory on that is if I know what you meant, that's good enough for me, right? So okay. Greer, Breer, Albert, Alvin, whatever you called them, it was good with me. We're all good.
All right, Jason, I see Mercedes Lewis is working, looking for work. Chances he's in Green Bay. Slim to none?
Probably. I mean, if Goody doesn't want 30-year-old guys, does he really want a 50-year-old guy? Matt LaFleur, what I've learned through the course of LaFleur's, what is this going to be, his seventh season as the coach, which is crazy because that's how long Holmgren was the coach. And we always think of Mike as this kind of institutional coach, and it turns out, given when he left for Seattle, you know, LaFleur, if he coaches this year or next year, he'll surpass him in terms of tenure. But what I've learned is he's always got his handful of favorites, right? Guys that, you know, he treats everybody well. He's a player's coach, but there are a couple guys that he resonates with far more than others. And Mercedes Lewis is on that list, right? He used to call Alan Lazard his goon, and it's the only time I've ever heard the term goon be used as a term of affection, but that's how he viewed him too. And in Mercedes Lewis, like, this is one of my favorite stories that I learned from one of the assistants. LaFleur loves Mercedes so much and talks about him so reverently that while he was still with the Packers, the assistant coaches, for I don't know if it was for his birthday or for Christmas, they got LaFleur a Mercedes Lewis jersey, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
So, because I feel fairly confident that, and that was an 89 jersey, I feel fairly confident that no one was getting Mike Holmgren a Chewy jersey. So my point is that, you know, once again, another example of a guy that the coach loves who would be great for their locker room. I always thought, you know, even as they were turning into this younger team, he was worth having. Right? I mean, yeah, what was he going to catch? 10 balls a year? But having him in the locker room, having him have influence, like, you could be frustrated with Rodgers and his leadership style. You could be frustrated with other veteran players who had to get theirs. Mercedes Lewis was never that guy, and he certainly wasn't that guy in the years that he spent in Green Bay. So while I love that idea, again, I don't see Goody having a whole lot of interest, no matter how Matt LaFleur feels about him.
Jason, I know that there are restrictions on what coaches can and can't do in terms of contact with their players. And Jordan Love, I think we all agree, has some things he needs to clean up going into next season. How much contact can Matt LaFleur have? Can he give, like, hey, here's a list of things that I think you should work on, and here's how you should work on it? Or do they just trust that his personal coach that he's going to work with is going to help clean some of those things up?
That's a really good question. I have not thought about that. So this is an educated guess. This is not a I've checked the rule book and here's what is allowed type of answer. But my educated guess would be they can talk on the phone all they want. Now, LaFleur... or FaceTime.
I was about to say, what about FaceTime?
Get a hold of your quarterback. God, isn't it amazing that that has become part of the... you just can't let that pass, right? The way Rodgers handled that. Look, I think LaFleur certainly gave him a to-do list when he left in the exit interview. I'm sure he checks in on him and talks to him about, hey, how's this going? How's that going? You heard... Jordan say this at the Super Bowl, talking about how he does need to make his legs part of his game, not try to morph into Lamar Jackson. But even had he been healthy last year, which he clearly wasn't with the leg injuries, he still probably would not have used his legs as frequently as they would like him to and how they need him to. So my point is that I'm sure LaFleur gave him a to-do list. I'm sure he checks in on him from time to time to see where he stands on that to-do list. But from a perspective of, you know, I don't think he's filming his workouts and sending them to Sean Mannion and LaFleur and asking him, hey, how do I look here? And what do I need to do here? So, but look, there's no denying, and I hate doing this because there's a segment of the fan base that then thinks that you think Jordan Love sucks or you're ripping him and you're not giving him enough leeway because he played with two leg injuries last year. This is a critical, critical year for him.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan knows that. I think obviously the Packers know that. And that's not, you know, me saying that doesn't mean that I think he sucks. What it means is if he's going to be the guy that's the $55 million man, if he's going to be the guy that is going to elevate his game, and when we talk about him, it is not unreasonable to use his name in the same sentence as Love, as Rodgers and Favre, then he's got to up his game. And you know, I don't think Jordan is the kind of guy, in my experience with him, and I feel like, you know, after 2 years of not even being in a locker room with him because of COVID, I feel like I've gotten to know him more and more. And one of the things I like about him that his predecessor did not do often enough is he owns stuff. I need to play better. I can't make that throw. That was a bad decision. Like, that is, for lack of a better term, refreshing, okay? But I don't think he needs to be treated with kid gloves. And when I say something, like, I'm not worried that, oh, it's going to get back to Jordan and he's going to be mad because I criticized him. Like, I think he's self-critical enough to say, look, I know that I'm a good player. I know that I could play a lot better than I did, even with the leg injuries. And I'm going to demand that of myself. And I think that's an incredibly appealing quality that he has. Like, we can question if he's, you know, he's too even keeled. And is he going to be able to make a leadership jump? I mean, LaFleur basically put that out there, right, in the mm-hmm. press conference mm-hmm. after the season. Those are fair questions. But I don't have a question about his character or about his ability to take responsibility. And so I think he went into this offseason not necessarily feeling pressure, but feeling a desire to say, all right, I'm going to work my tail off. And I work my tail off every offseason, but this one's got to be different because this team needs me to make a jump. And he's that responsible that I believe he views it through that lens.
Again, the reason why I bring that up, Jason, because when the previous quarterbacks were at this juncture in their career, Holmgren mm-hmm. with Brett could be a lot more hands-on. McCarthy with Aaron could be a lot more hands-on. And I know this changed way back in 2011 with that CBA, but that's how long it's been where the Packers have had to not, you know, deal with this. So not that they don't trust Jordan, it's just trusting somebody outside the organization to get him where he needs to be. I'm guessing that's got to be scary for Mannion, for LaFleur. Like, okay, we just got to trust that this guy's going to be able to help our guy and that Jordan's going to be ready when he comes to us in June for minicamp.
Yeah, and look, I don't take this the wrong way, but I mean this because I think this is ridiculous. NFL players have been stupid when it comes to the CBA. They just have been.
Mm-hmm.
Their negotiation, and again, you know, Chewy, you're part of this. First yeah. of all, none of these guys seem to realize someday they're going to be former players. Okay? So you should not only be fighting for conditions that affect you as a player currently, but things that are going to impact you down the road when you're retired. So the fact that they did not fight for lifetime health care, for example, is so short-sighted, it's just dumb. One of the other things, though, that is dumb is that I'm sure the owners look at them and go, hey, these idiots, less time in the off season, and then we'll add an 18th game. For your development as a player, and look, I understand, you know, I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm very happy here. There are a few drawbacks to it, but I like it here. But I understand that coming here, because you guys used to come back for the off season program in like March. I mean, once you had the Hudson Center and stuff, mm-hmm. like late March. Yep. And from a developmental standpoint, and again, I'm one of those guys that I have more fun at Sydney's practices than I do at the games because I just love the process of improving. But there, especially for a young team like this, the fact that they don't have that much work in the off season like they used to in the old days, that's one of the few things about the old days, as opposed to not realizing that if a guy got knocked out in the first half with a concussion, he probably shouldn't play in the second half. One of the things about the old days is that I really think that that was so much better for players' development. And I would hope that even if players want to be hanging out on South Beach or doing whatever, they would recognize that if that opportunity was there to be with their coaches and go through IPWs and quarterback school and all the stuff that they used to have, it would help them become better players, and it would benefit them in the long run. It would be a small price to pay. Because I love the videos of Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed down in Florida running routes with a bunch of other dudes in what appears to be just a regular old park. But, again, it's not quite the same as what you'd be getting if you were in Green Bay.
Jason, we certainly appreciate the time, bud. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I do want to tell you about our friends over at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Wisconsin. You've heard us talk about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin for years and the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. And I'm really excited that I am going to be doing and talking a lot about Pella, because there's a reason that Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin have been together with ESPN Wisconsin for years. Just really good people that are going to make sure that you are taken care of. They genuinely love what they do at Pella, and that team is going to be with you from start to finish. You're getting those windows in your house. They're not just going to disappear right after the sale. They are going to make sure that you are taken care of. And right now, you can take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month. That's right, $22 per month, and doors as low as $89 per month, which is something I'm looking into because I need a new front door at our house. Certain restrictions do apply. It ends 3/31/2025. You can get started today with our friends at PellaWI.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Revisionist history is something that's always interesting to me, where I don't know if people just honestly misremember, if they're trying to, you know, paint their picture. I don't. Revisionist history is something I'm just utterly fascinated by, and how different people will remember different things. Because yesterday on KBN, Chew, Kyle Wallace, who we love here, Kyle's our guy, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's probably our favorite guy on KBN, right?
Yeah, there's a gap involved now, too.
Well, we know Ben's our least favorite. But
he wronged our guy.
But Kyle yesterday said this, and I want to get your reaction to this, Chew, because I was confused when Kyle was saying this. This is what Kyle had to say about Jordan Love and when he first started with the Green Bay Packers.
I think about the fact that Jordan Love came into a terrible situation and really made it work out, and I blame Goody for the fact that we're in the position that we are now because he did not do enough to build an offense that could be primed and ready for Jordan Love to get the keys and rev it. Brett Favre walked into a good situation, right? And then you look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers basically took over a luxury car. Jordan Love took over a putt-putt vehicle. He took over a 2013 Ford Focus. And guess what? That's what I drive.
I was just going to say, it sounds like something Kyle Wallace drives. And let me
Okay, the only thing he got right there is that Aaron Rodgers went into a good situation. Aaron Rodgers took over a team that was 13-3 and went to an NFC Championship game. Brett had called it one of the most talented teams he had ever been on before he eventually left. So there was talent on that team, and Aaron obviously had to grow, which is why they struggled his first year starting. But then they obviously hit the ground running and took off and won a Super Bowl just a couple of years later with a lot of that core that Aaron played with. Brett didn't come into a good situation. You were there, Chewy.
No.
You were there in 1992.
That roster was terrible. Outside of Sterling, yeah. Look, and I had the same situation as Aaron in Jordan. Man, it's nice to just sit there and watch for 4 years and learn and not be thrown into it until you're ready. Right? Brett was thrown into crap his second year in the league. right? Where he didn't get any reps in Atlanta. He was a clown show. He was a sideshow. And then you threw him in. I could tell you this, and I said it a million teams. That roster was terrible. The only reason we went 9-7 was because of Holmgren.
The 1991 now, Packers, Chew, were 4-12.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you guys had the number five overall pick in 1992.
I think it. What he's trying to say is, you know, Goody didn't get him a number one receiver for whatever reason. That's
sure,
fine.
But like, but that we don't have to pretend that Jordan came into this god awful situation. Was it the greatest situation a quarterback has ever stepped into? No, but like, the year before, that was a team that if they won in their final week of the regular season against Detroit at home, it was a playoff team. Like the receiving core maybe wasn't the best, but there were the offensive line was good. Aaron Jones was good. Like he walked into a situation that still featured some talent. It's not like it was the 1992 Green Bay Packers.
What year did Jordan start? His fifth year or his fourth year?
So he was drafted in 2020. He his third year. So he sat for two, and then he came, his fourth year. So he sat for 3 years in 2020, 2021, and 2022, and then he started in year four in 2023.
Because the biggest adjustment you have to make coming from college to pro is to learn the speed of the game. And I've said it a million times. I had to learn how to play a click, a hair away from being out of control. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. You know, that takes 2 years. Your third year, you get it. You get the speed. And then you always hear the term, Gabe, the game slows down for you. Well, the game slows down, and then you get more knowledge. Now, Aaron, yes, benefited from playing behind Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan benefited by
playing behind Aaron.
Playing behind Aaron. So I think the point he's trying to make, and I get it, but it's a little flawed, is that Goody didn't give him the receivers necessary at this point in order to succeed.
Sure. But, like, again, I don't want to – it wasn't the greatest situation. It wasn't a terrible – I don't know if that is –
it wasn't terrible.
I don't – I mean, it could be a thing where, again, where it's just, like, Packers fan base entitlement. Like, if you want to know terrible – look at truly terrible situations around the league. Like, look at the Cleveland Browns, who are in a truly terrible situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, teams of that, like, the New York Giants, like, those are truly terrible situations. And, again, I'm not saying that Jordan Love, you know, came into the league with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, it wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't that bad.
No. Anytime you can sit as a backup quarterback and not have to start your first year – or play your second year and be afforded to play your fourth year, dude, the game slows down. It slows down. Now, could it have been – is it the best situation possible? No, but it's certainly not the worst
situation. It's not terrible.
You can't underrate also how just important a good head coach and a good offensive head coach is to the development of a quarterback. Sure. I think I understand what Kyle's driving at. It's certainly not what Aaron Rodgers worked with, and it's certainly not the perfect situation.
No,
it was a rebuild, but it was a rebuild that got fast forwarded because everybody kind of played above what was expected of them. The Packers wouldn't say rebuild, but we all knew it. But what they rebuilt with was a lot of useful guys who were pretty damn good at least being pros, like. I mean, Justin Fields was playing with guys that weren't pro-level players. Offensive line was a debacle.
Oof. Yeah.
Like, at very least, he had a great offensive line, a great offensive-minded coach, and then a good enough skill players. We want better. We've talked about it now for 2 years, but it's. I don't think it's even close to 92.
It doesn't even
take a sniff at it. Now,
you know who our running backs were in 1992?
Oh, I could tell you.
Harry Sidney and Vince Workman. You know? Yeah, that's not blowing the doors. And I think Daryl Thompson was there, too. He was a first-round pick.
I mean, Vince Workman rushed for 631 yards and a couple of touchdowns in 1992,
okay,
too.
Okay, that's a little different than Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs.
Daryl Thompson had 254 yards, yet Edgar had rushed for 214 that year.
You could have told me Vince Workman was just a stand-in name for guy who goes out and
create a player.
Yeah. He just it's just Vince Workman. It's a term we use for a guy who's not very good. He just goes out and does what he's asked.
That's exactly what he was. Good guy, though. He's a great guy.
You know who was Brett? Do you know who Brett's third leading receiver in 1992 was?
Sanjay Beach. Let me get. I'll get there.
Well, so it wasn't a wide receiver. So the top guy. So the top in terms of receiving yards in 1992. So Sterling was one. Clearly, I mean Sterling
probably
had a big year.
Jackie Harris too.
So Jackie Harris was two. Had 595 yards. Who was
probably
three?
Harry Sidney, because every time Harry had a incentive in his contract where if he caught 50 balls, he'd get X amount. So all you would hear playing with Harry is, Brett, I'm going to be on the backside. And as soon as Brett snapped the ball, you'd hear, Brett, throw it to me, throw it to me.
Bad news for Harry, he finished with 49 receptions that year.
Yeah, you know why? Out of spite. It was out of spite because when you got the offensive lineman going, hey, don't throw it to Harry. Because one thing about Harry, you know what we called him? Harry Two Rings, because he'd let you know every day that he got two rings with the San Francisco 49ers. That's what we call him, Harry Two Rings.
The second leading wide receiver that year, the actually played wide receiver.
Hold on.
With 152 yards. Sanjay was down on the list. Yes, okay, Sanjay was
Mark
down on
Clayton,
the list.
Or was that 93?
I was thinking it must have been 93. This guy only played six games in 1992.
Give me his initials.
R.L.
Oh, Lewis.
Ron Lewis.
Ron Lewis.
In terms of wide receivers, had the second most yards for the Packers in 1992 with 152. Yeah. Robert had 126 that year.
Yeah.
And then Sanjay had 122.
Yeah.
So, yes, he had Sterling, but the drop-off was...
That was about it. Yeah, not a lot of talent on that roster.
The drop-off from wide receiver one to wide receiver two
so Sterling
was
had
literally 1,300 yards.
I know, but what were the catches, Gabe?
Sterling had 108. And Jackie Harris had 55. Harry Sidney had 49.
Oh, my gosh.
Vince Workman had 47. And then Ron Lewis and Daryl Thompson had 13 each, Robert with 12.
Hold on. So it went from 108 to 13.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, you need to do a little more research next time, all right, buddy? That's all we're saying.
Again, Sterling's great. Hall of Famer now, but like...
108 to 13.
Again, the drop-off at the wide receiver position was pretty big back in 1992. It is not a drop-off, though, if you head to our friends at Ewald Automotive Group, because you can get more with the all-new Kia K4 at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. It's just $188 per month. That's right, $188 per month. More legroom, more miles per gallon than the Sentra. It's the new 2025 Kia K4 with a whole lot more, just $188 a month for buy. Get it with Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. And with Ewald, it's easy. So you can visit them at Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc. Go to ewaldauto.com. Start there as well. Deal does expire at the month's end. Find out more with Ewald Kia of Oconomowoc.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking... Okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payments solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. They've got all those answers for you, and they are a great team to work with to make sure that you and your business are heading in the right direction. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. Watching, waiting, commiserating. Every once in a while on social media, somebody comes up with something that just pops. And you don't have to be somebody that has a ton of followers. It'll just circulate, you know, because it's good content. So Tony Rountree on Twitter, at Tony with a Y, he tweeted out a list. He just took a screenshot of his notes app, put it out there, and this thing just took off. And I thought it was a fun list. We might be able to tweak the list a little bit, but I want to know Chewy's thoughts here. The list is entitled Most Frustrating Things in Sports. You ready for the most frustrating things in sports?
Yes, I am ready.
Number one, false start on third or fourth down.
I would say fourth down.
Yeah, I mean, but if it's like third and two, you have the false start. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just...
But you can still go in today's NFL. They still go.
Well, yeah, but you now, I mean, still.
Harder.
Yeah, a lot harder to do it.
Yeah.
Number two, giving up offensive rebounds.
That's frustrating.
Number three, leaving runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
I would just make a tweak to that, like, late in the game. Like, if you leave a runner on second base in the second inning, it's...
But you will, if you leave one in the seventh inning.
Oh, yeah, you get
refer
the
back
inning?
To the first, second, and third read did the same.
Yeah.
And then you get re-mad at those, even though you weren't initially mad.
I still think football's the top dog right now. I still think it is.
Number four, jumping off sides on third or fourth down.
That kind of goes hand in hand with the first.
Yeah, it's just the opposite side of it, you know. Yeah, third and two becomes first down.
Yeah.
Striking out looking.
Yeah, that's bad.
Number
still not as bad as football.
Number six, missing both free throws.
It depends what part of the game. If it's, you know, crunch time, that's bad.
Number seven, fouling on a three-point shot.
Yeah, that's bad.
Eight, blatant roughing the passer.
That's stupid.
I think the inverse might actually be worse. The one that's blatantly not, but they get the call,
but they get
and
the
you're
call
like,
anyway.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I would agree. The inverse is more frustrating.
Yeah.
When, you know, like when Clay Matthews was like getting
the
roughing the passer
on the
penalties.
Yeah,
oh, dear Lord. And then they got rid of it. Like, it's just, what are we doing?
I still think if it's... Is there more, Gabe?
I've got two more.
Okay.
Number nine, swinging and hitting a pop-up on a 3-0 count.
That's number two right now.
And then number 10 is pass interference on third or fourth and long.
Yeah, that's bad. I still think if you're on the minus 45 and it's fourth and inches... And you're going for it, and an offensive lineman jumps offside. Now it's fourth and five plus, and then you got a punt. That's not a good look.
Yeah.
Not a good look. What's your guy's number one?
Sneaky offensive rebounds will make me go insane.
When they start to pile up, right?
Yes.
Like, as if they get one. Everyone gets offensive rebounds throughout the course of a game.
Yeah, but,
when they start piling up and they get, like, three or four on a single possession.
Yeah, that'll make me scream at the TV.
But a lot of time it's a bounce. You know, you can't control it the way it bounces. Now, you can control jumping off sides. That's just stupid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's laziness involved and you're not boxing out, which, you know, happens, then I kind of get it, but can't control the bounce sometimes.
I would add, and again, these things happen, but like any sort of drop on third or fourth down, you know, like you third and, you know, you run, what's the play you always talk about, Drew? Fox 2 XY hook?
Yeah.
You know, you run that play to perfection and it's third and five and you're wide open just past the sticks and then you drop it.
Yeah, I've been there.
Like, that's killer.
Yeah.
To that extent as well, an error with two outs in the inning, like, that always frustrates because the inning should be over. The inning should be over, and now it's not. Now you're grinding your way through. But what are your most frustrating things in sports? You can call us up or throw it on the talk and text line, the Carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Lists is more. Most frustrating things in sports.
A missed strike three call, that'll... Especially now with how easy in real time you're able to see if it's a strike
like
or not.
The pitcher's walking off the mound. Like the catcher's just about to like underhand it back to the mound, and he's still got to like stop before he does it.
Got
to throw it back to the pitcher now.
And the fact that they got the strike zone on the TV now will make you go even crazier.
What drives you up the wall?
But mental mistakes drive you more nuts than physical mistakes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a mental mistake, like a 3-0 pop-up, you know, you probably got the green light because you're a home run hitter and they want you to, that just happens.
Or your Chucky Carr and Chucky Hacks on 3-0.
Hacks, baby.
You know, miss free throws. Well, that's, you know, the mental things is what drives coaches crazy. crazy.
But what drives fans crazy? What drives you crazy? The most frustrating things in sports? Hit us up. Carpool's Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. We want to hear from you in 2 minutes on Jen, Gabe, and Truth.